Welcome to the podcast of Grace Covenant Church, where we are transformed by God's grace, connected through relationships, and committed to service.
Talking now about this week, about in the city, for the city, in Austin, for Austin. Again, there's 150 churches kind of codifying some of our teaching time together just to bring about this idea that we could work together and do things that we couldn't do separately. It really is a bit of a fascinating thing that's going on. It's taken years in the making. 7 or 8 years ago when we got started, a number of pastors would go off and have a prayer retreat together, and we kept trying to do something, you know, and it was clunky. We were grinding our gears. There's a number of different reasons why it just wasn't working. But in the last 2 years especially, it's though the Spirit of God has found its way. It's been the oil in the gears, and now we're working quite well together. In 2010, we had two meetings as city pastors, two meetings together to figure out, okay, what exactly can we do? And that's what we're trying to talk to you guys today about, and other churches around the city will be talking about that this month as well. What we're trying to do is we're trying to apply these verses in Matthew chapter 5 about being a light on a hill, a city on the hill, or a light for people to see. Look what it says. You are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And look, I put an emphasis here. It gives light to everyone in the house. I wish it said to everyone else in the house. Your light is for everyone else in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You're looking for that your light would shine before men, that they would see your good deeds, and then praise your Father in heaven. And so when we talk about in the city and for the city, we talk about how we can make an influence and impact on this great town called Austin that we all love so much and that God loves. We think, how do we do that? Well, we've worked a model for at least 10 years here at Grace. I think it's right about 10 years now. A model of doing ministry, because it's not a method, okay? It's not a formula. It is a mindset. It is a worldview, the way of looking at things. If you see in your bulletin, you'll see there's a quick little outline there. The first thing is to pray. The first blank to fill in there is, what do? You pray. And the reason the first thing you do is prayer is because what we're talking about here is a spiritual event. And prayer acknowledges that spiritual event. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. I mean, if that's a metaphor for anything, it's a metaphor for a spiritual transformation. You and I can only do so much, and it's not that much when you think about it. Let me put it another way. There's nothing more sophisticated, complicating, unknowable than a human soul surrendering itself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's too much mystery involved there. There's too much importance involved in that experience. And so it has to be, by definition, a monumental spiritual thing. And so what we do is we let prayer go before us. It paves the way for us. It makes hearts tender towards reception to God's truth. The second thing we do is we care. We have prayer, care. The last thing is share. But the first thing we have to do is pray. The second thing we have to do is care. We're praying for opportunities to care for people, that God would do something in their lives to make them more open, more accepting to what God has for them. Sometimes it's a promotion. There's a thing called destination sickness, and it's when someone has their dreams in life finally fulfilled. They get the corner office or whatever it might be, but no marriage, no occupational experience, no matter what it is, there's still so much missing. And so sometimes someone rises to the top and they look around and they say, that's it? And the way you can care for them, if you've sufficiently prayed for them, is to answer the question, how come my heart longs for so much more? Well, heaven has an answer. You have eternity in your heart and you're trapped in this temporal body. Another obvious ways of caring is just looking for ways that God has arranged things that they would need help. And again, that's more obviously, it's not a promotion, but maybe a job loss. And you can be there to help them through that difficult time. Sometimes it's simple things, like just this week, Just this week, on one of the beginning of the snow days, Melinda was taking one of our daughters to school, and they saw two fun-loving dogs who have escaped, you know, their penitentiary. They hadn't been out apparently much because they were quite enthusiastic, and they ran across a very busy street up in Northwest Austin. And Melinda and Amy knew right away that this was trouble. They did not know how to manage and navigate around the city, and so they pulled over and they threw the dogs in the truck and figured out what they do later on. They spent most of the morning trying to find the owners of these two dogs. They stayed in our backyard for a while until we could get to the vet and do that little thing, and they found the owner. But here's the point. The conversation didn't say, "Hey, I found your dog, good for you." It was, "We were praying for you guys. We knew that these dogs came from a fun-loving family, and I bet you guys were scared, and the lady on the other end, we were scared, and we've been praying too." So we take an incident of, you know, simplicity, and we sprinkle it with care and spiritual vocabulary, saying, "We're going to pray for you about this." And it gives us an avenue to have a conversation that we could hope to have, because God's gone before us, because we've chosen to care. We're letting our good deeds shine in front of other men that they might praise the Father, our Father that's in heaven. That's what we do. Now, in the context of our outline, our prayer, care, and sharing that's going on, the way I want to emphasize today and mostly inform you about is the way the collective churches have decided to put as their emphasis. Here's how we can alter, you know, the feel of Austin if we work together. If we do some things together that we can't do separately, we could make a big difference. And one of the ways of doing that is in the ministry that was birthed called the Austin Disaster Relief Network. And I had a friend come and join me today. His name is Daniel. He's the executive director of Austin Disaster Relief. And this is how we at Grace could get involved with the Church of Austin to get involved, and how we can care for other people. I met him at the prayer retreat. I think we've met before, yeah. But we had a great conversation over lunch, and his perspective on things was so enlightening. I thought, I got to bring him to church and introduce you guys to him. So thanks for coming.
Yes, thank you for having me here.
And
really
tell us about Austin Disaster Relief Network, and who are you, and how'd you get started and all that?
Sure. I'm going to just give you first a picture of the end goal of what we are aiming for, to tell you about who we are. Imagine a city of greater Austin, with churches, 400 churches connected with the same vision to be prepared to become ready churches, so in the event of a disaster, they will coordinate together their resources, their volunteers. Imagine 50,000, 40,000 Christians that are trained, prepared, ready, badge and credential. I've got my badge on today, that are ready to mobilize in that time to become the best asset that the city has in a time of disaster. And now imagine their resources connected together from those churches to be able to be used, so we can go to the city and say, "This is what we have ready for you." Imagine that. That is the vision of the Austin Disaster Relief Network for the body of Christ in Greater Austin. And we were formed in March of 2009, so we're only a couple of years old. But we were formed and birthed out of pain that back in 2005, when Katrina came and the evacuees came to our city, there was a kind of a rude awakening for the church, where almost every pastor I've spoken to, which is well over 100 some pastors, have said the same thing. We tried to get into the shelters and could not get in and could not help. And the reason why was that there was the lack of training in advance, and also the relationship with the city. What we did in 2009 to break that was to approach the city and approach Red Cross and those that are in charge in times of disaster and say, "How can we serve you and how can we honor you as a people?" And they gave us 5 specific things that we could do. So we began working on those, and within a very short time, we had over 800 volunteers to help them run shelters. And through that relationship, now doors have opened wide for the body of Christ.
Right. Yeah, it's a fabulous story because of Katrina, and I was it four Some staggering number. Only 100, 200 people that have ever been transferred to Austin as to be evacuated. And then
in the history, yeah, right. Before Katrina, the largest evacuation was 100 to 200 people. After Katrina, it's been 44,000 people. Katrina, right. Gustav, Ike, right. And Rita.
So some of you experienced that. Some junior highs and high school gyms were converted, that sort of thing. But what happened was the Christian community couldn't do anything about it because we didn't have the badges. We didn't have the qualifications to get in there. You can't ride in the Hummer or the helicopter or get in the convention center unless you have this badge.
That's correct.
So, again, the conglomeration of churches, the Austin Church, said, we have got to serve Austin in some way, and so we need to get trained to do that. And that's one of the things that you guys have been doing, right?
Yep, and since then, so, you know, recently we've had a major catastrophic flood in our own city here. And what we do is we prepare people in the area of family, individual training, neighborhood training, and city. So how you can be able to be effective in all those areas. But also, we're activation too. So we have, since this time and since all this training, we were actually birthed on 911 of this year. Is the date that we actually came out of the chute, out of the canal, so to speak. And now all of us had this training. So on that day, because of the training of the body of Christ, we were recognized as the leaders and put in charge to lead and coordinate all of the volunteers at the disaster sites and disaster zones. We sent out multiple people to brief people in trauma. We sent multiple people to muck out homes. We've mucked out over 120 homes. We've adopted over 60 families and sponsored families. We've rebuilt 5 homes. We've done a whole lot of work that the church has. Now that we've got some things going, we have 57 churches on the network now, and that's growing. We have 1,400 people trained so far, and that's growing.
Well, that's kind of fun. So here's the picture I want you guys to see. Here's what's changed. The city of Austin and the people in charge of disaster management have the church sitting at the desk now saying, wait, we need you. Here's what we need for you guys to do. That's us. And now it's gotten to the point where there's a bit of a pendulum swing where they're actually counting on us first and foremost. Is that right?
Yes, they are. Yeah, and I tell you what, they were so excited when I was able to go to the Round Rock police chief and say, all the volunteers that have this white badge, white means background check and advanced training, to tell you the kind of relief that he had to know that people were prepared in advance to come alongside of them and aid them.
Great. Good thing. So tell me about what you want Grace Covenant Church. You've come here. We want to serve you guys as you serve Austin. What can we do?
Great question. I love that question.
Yeah. Here he goes.
Grace, this is what you could do. It's really to be who you've been called to be as a corporate body. You're called to be a church of grace, of love and care. This is who you are in your DNA. I know it because I know many of your members, and to have the fullness of that to come and to be trained, because in order to come out and step out to who God has given you to be in a time of disaster, you'll need the training, the credentials. And so I don't want to limit you. I want to help you with the keys to the car to give you the best seat in the house in a time of disaster. So we're putting on a special training for Grace right here on February 24th. Which is a Thursday, and you'll be able to go to the back here after service. We have a kiosk back there. Jim and David Barnes, come forward. These are your 2 disaster relief coordinators for the church, which they mobilize in a time of disaster. Also, they communicate to you. Every single church on our network has these people. That's the cool thing about what we're doing. We're really connecting. The second thing, too, that you can do is financial support. Just sewing into this in the city for the city movement that's going on is one way that you can give. There are multiple roles that you can do in a time of disaster. I'm going to speak to the children, to the elderly, to the house mom. Every one of us have a role in a time of disaster to play. And I want to encourage you to come by and hear about those trainings and how you can be part, from the smallest area to the someone that gives a lot of time.
All right. So when he says disaster ready, by the way, it can be very localized. You can be the person on that block, and hopefully you have a vision for that already, that you're the person on that block that cares for the rest of your block. And what we're talking about now is being actually qualified to do that with, you know, extra pure water and rations and that sort of thing. So you're the person that calls because two people might be critically concerned about, because maybe they're the elderly or something like that, right? So you're just kind of like the paramedic on the block. I'm not going to use that word literally, but you're the person that's caring for your neighbors, right?
That's correct. We can walk alongside the first responders. And so I've kind of...
It's just like when the power goes out. That's it. Okay, we can start there. Yeah. You're not going to be the person that's swimming in after somebody in a rescue operation. Okay, no. So don't, everybody relax on that. We're just asking you to be the person that the city knows that block's cared for. Or we need extra volunteers to move to and to help with something that's going on in Round Rock.
We actually have a place in the command post with the city of Austin. So I have every one of our volunteers on a big screen, and I can hover over with the mouse every bit of training they have, background check. It's
good
impressive
stuff.
To know that these are the people that the city has to use as an asset in a time of disaster. So I want to challenge this church to become a ready church. A ready church is a church that has a vision collectively for the city, to help the city out in a time of disaster, and to be a church that's prepared emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And I'm the ultimate goal of a ready church is to minimally have 25% of this congregation ready in some form of fashion and credential. So I believe that you could be the first church to hit this mark, and I want to challenge you with that.
Now, Daniel's going to four other churches this month, so we got to get on this first. So. Now, I'm not competitive about this. I just think it would be a good thing.
No country's one of them.
Yeah. So here's another fun thing that I realized at lunch. Again, from his perspective, he sees the bigger picture on things. And one of the things that's happened over the last 5 years or so is there's a continual prayer for the city of Austin that God would help us and save us from ourselves. And in our brief interaction on that day, Daniel was able to say, look, if you just think about what happened in 2010, if it weren't for the grace of God, there could have been calamity on top of tragedy. And let's run through a couple of slides here what happened, and you tell us about how prayer changed things.
This right here is the shooting at the Capitol that happened on early in the year. The next slide. This is, of course, UT shooting. That could have really went the wrong way. I mean, why did that guy, that AK-47, go off and ballistic? I mean, it is through our prayers. The floods. This is a historic flood. Most people don't realize 700 homes were affected in all five cities, Georgetown, Austin, Round Rock, Cedar Park, Leander, 200 destroyed or severely damaged. We're still rebuilding houses right now.
Well, before you go on to the next one, tell us about that one story from the flood of how prayer, care, and share work together to help transform a life.
Well, we had a woman that called me that said, Daniel, I need help. I have not mucked out my house. That's been 2 months since the flood of September 8th, and mold has grown up 4 feet high all around her walls. An unlivable house, right? And she says, I'm fully insured, but the insurance company won't come in and fix it until I have a mold remediation team come in and remove the mold. Help me. And I'm going, oh my gosh, this is a tough one. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in prayer? And she says, well, I kind of believe in a higher power. I said, well, you know, my God is a God that answers the impossible and makes it possible. He loves that. So let's pray. So we prayed, and I prayed for her and asked God just to really come upon the situation. Well, I'm not kidding. Within an hour and a half to 2 hours later, I get this call from the Round Rock Serving Center, who it's one of our partners, and they say, Daniel, we've got this guy here that must give 48 hours of community work per the judge, and he does construction work. Do you have anything he can do? And I said, well, ask him if he's ever done mold remediation. Because this is a kind of specialty here. And so she comes back like 2 minutes later. She goes, he just finished a job in a mobile home. And I said, ask him if he'll do this. And then lo and behold. So I now had a great call to make to a woman that I can demonstrate what God can do.
In an hour and a half.
In an hour and a half.
That's not a bad turnaround. And then tell us a little bit about, the thing that's so close to us.
Well, I told him, I said, it's no coincidence. Every time I walk and look at the Echelon building, I give thanks to God that it wasn't worse than it was. And it's no coincidence that the word grace is on this church right next to that building. I praise God when I see the two together. And so again, I think you have a role. You played a big role in this, but no one knows this. But I, in some of my meetings with the city of Austin, they said, Daniel, I don't know if you're aware of this, but at Dave and Buster's across the street, there were five crews of firemen, units of firemen practicing that morning with a brand new fire truck and with all the exact gear to put out that fire. Yeah, and he says that never happens to do those kind of events in a public place, to have that many crew there. And then he says also the EMS were right there when that happened. They weren't driving around. They were right there. And then the restaurants, this church, the way that y'all responded, I'm telling you, the prayers of the saints coming together, right, us praying together, has impacted our city, because all four of these events that happened this year could have caused catastrophic events to our lives, livelihood in this city.
Yeah, it's a wonderful story about how the collective body of Jesus Christ is praying for Austin, and we're turning out to be a city on a hill that can't be hidden. Anyway, Daniel, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we have a information table in the back, near the front doors, and you'll see a couple guys there, and you can talk to Daniel about getting involved with that.
Thank you,
buddy. So one of the ways that all the churches in Austin that are involved in this are trying to care for the city, we pray for the city, we care for the city. One way is the Austin Disaster Relief. The other way is with the education system. The education system is the second way, because not just, and the, kind of the moment right now is we need to strike while the iron's hot, because of some of the budget issues that are going on. I don't know how they're going to answer those problems, but I know that there is an amount of vulnerability in the schools, whatever that is. And what we can do as a church, and I speak the church in Austin, is we can go and we can serve the educational institutions. The reason that the churches together are working in education is because we have to raise the ability of people in Austin to be able to read. Because if you cannot read, you will fail out of school. There's statistics that are really haunting, in that if by third grade, if you're learning to read, there's I think 80% chance that you will fail out of high school, you won't finish high school, and about the same statistics are that you'll end up in jail at one time or another. So there's a fork in the road somewhere around third grade. If you are learning to read, you're going to go this way and it leads to despair, or you're reading to learn, and you'll continue to learn and you'll have hope and possibly prosperity ahead of you. But what they've also found out is they have to be able to read by third grade, and they've tracked it all the way back that actually the kind of one of the pivot points is kindergarten, first grade, that everyone needs to be kindergarten ready to be able to read by those years. And what we're asking the Church of Austin to do is to go and help the schools do that. And if you have kids in public schools, what we want you to do is just invite yourself into those situations, because I don't know where the cuts are going to go or where the things are going to change, but you could be the first person in there to say, how can I serve? If it's administrative, whatever, but I want to help kids be able to read by the time they're out of first grade. And it's quite common that our fourth and fifth graders in the public school systems are brought down to teach kindergarten kids and first graders how to read. That's a great thing to do. You could do that as a parent. If your kids are older, you can still go back to those elementary schools. If you don't have kids in public schools because you're not married or you're an empty nester or you're homeschooling or private schooling, here's what I'd recommend for you. You can still go to your school that's assigned to you based on geography. Or even better, you can cross the freeway where they need it most. Because if the kids can't read by third grade, it's done. And the way they get to third grade is by getting to first grade. All the cities of Austin, the churches in Austin that are in the city for the city in this movement that's taking place right now are trying to make, we're just trying to raise the level of education in the city for the betterment of the city, for the glory of God. So one of the ways we're asking you guys to consider getting involved is helping in Big Brothers, Big Sisters or one of the reading programs of your local elementary school. Consider that, would you? Could you consider that? So our outline goes like this. There's prayer, there's care, and there's share. There's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the friends that God brings you. One of the initiatives of these churches is what's printed in your bulletin there, is that between now and Easter, we're asking all the members of the congregation to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with three people by Easter. And someone, whoever did the math, said, if we did that, and it's up to God as to whether or not they'll receive it well, but if we did that, more than 100,000 people will have an invitation to join the kingdom of God. 100,000 people. If we would write on this sheet of paper five names of people that God has brought us in our neighborhood, in our place of influence, in our business, on our sports team, whatever it might be, and we just ask God, we pray for them, we look for opportunities to care for them, and then we share the gospel. Would you consider joining these churches and all the congregants in this ambition to invite 100,000 people to join the kingdom? It would be a great thing. Choose five. Wait for God to do something for three. And you have those spontaneous things as well. Austin is standing out as a city on a hill in many respects. A handful of cities across the country are having the same sort of movement take place, and we get to be one of them. Throughout the country, there's these pockets of realization that we can't do alone what we could do together. And now more and more churches are working together to change their city. It takes a small percentage of the population to alter the climate of a city. And what we're asking you guys to do is just keep Austin weird, but let's make Austin weirder. Let's make the weirdness of Austin be one where people can come here that haven't been here for a while and they say, you know what? Something has dramatically changed. There is a peace here. There's a contentment here. There's a spiritual dynamic. And people are open in this town. We did a survey. They are open in this town to hear about spiritual things and even about Jesus Christ. Oddly enough, it were the people in the church that voted the most apprehensive about it. The people in the streets are open to a conversation. So like the saying says, what starts in Austin can change the world. It could start right here on this Sunday in this church. Would you join me in doing that? Five names: prayer, care, share. Share. Let's see what happens, okay? Let me pray for our time and we have a wonderful song to sing. Dear Heavenly Father, we're offering to you our desire for Austin to become the city that you desire it to be and not the city we've settled with. And I'd ask, Lord, that you would superintend on even on our prayers, that you would give us a vision for the people that you want us to speak with, that you, in your sovereignty, in your power, and in your plan, you've arranged circumstances that we might have a relationship with people, not just for good times, or even conflict, but for spiritual truth to be told. Lord, let us be a light on the hill. Let us be a light that sheds light on other people's lives, that our good deeds would bear fruit in front of other people, that they would praise you, our Father in heaven. That's our prayer, Lord. So give us the courage to do that and the insight to understand your Spirit's leading. And let us be vessels of the power of the Spirit in the city of Austin. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
For more information about Grace, visit our website at grace360.org.